Welcome to another post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. Last night, Indiana had another successful staff midweek, holding Kent State to just 3 runs. Cooper Katsky had a critical 2.0 inning hitless outing. The Hoosier bats produced just enough offense to get a 4-3 victory. The Hoosiers were paced by multi-hit days from Philip Glasser and the Big Ten Player of the Week, Brock Tibbetts. After the game, the media met with head coach Jeff Mercer, Glasser, and Katsky.
Cooper, first appearance in 8 games, was that more just because of situation, or was there another reason why he hasn't appeared since Kentucky?
Just kind of his performance in the game, and then, like we talked about, we do a lot of those like off-day scrimmages. And we have a ton of confidence in him. He's got, you know, 4 or 5 pitches, a real slider, a real curveball, good changeup. So he's been good. The velo is starting to tick back up, a bunch of 88s today. So I think his last outing was probably Kentucky, and it wasn't great, respectfully. But today was one of those days where we wanted to get those young guys in. Those guys haven't thrown much. We need to add more guys to the pen. We need to add more guys to the back end. And so we just made a decision before the game that we had about 12 guys, and we wanted to get 8 or 9 of those guys in. And if we got to the middle innings and we felt like, hey, we were really a chance to win the game, then we had to do to win the game. With Cooper specifically, he just kind of rolled. And it became pretty apparent that they had a tough time with the 2 different breaking balls, and then he was cruising. Now we came behind him, Whitaker. Yeah, Evan came out. We had Evan hot. Because I knew we kind of figured, because he hasn't thrown as much, he was going to run out of gas. And at what point does he run out of gas? And then get him out of there because he had a great outing and he deserves to not have that kind of spoiled. But, yeah, it really was, we wanted to get all those guys in there and then kind of see what they did and then kind of ride the hot hand a little bit. And he came in and was great. And he was great in the fall. He was great in the winter. And it's just hard. You know, as a freshman, young guy, getting in there and pitching, kind of got to get your feet wet. But you kind of saw a preview of what we've seen a ton of, which is command of 5 pitches and really good stuff. So we're super excited about him. And it gives me a lot of – I get excited because it's a preview of a larger role for him, hopefully, and get back out there and do it again.
5 of those pitchers that came in today, you talked about you had 12 on the mind, but 5 of them were freshmen. Was there a mindset coming in that you wanted freshmen in? Or?
Yeah, those guys are talented. And we wanted to get those guys back out there, especially after this weekend with Evan and Reisdorf. We wanted to get those guys back out there. They've been great, right? And just like, you know, it took Devin a couple of weeks to kind of get his feet underneath him. It took Tyler Cerny a couple of weeks to get his feet underneath him. So at some point, those guys were going to stub their toe. And the best way, the best remedy for that is to get right back in the game, get right back out there. And so those couple guys specifically, but those freshmen have – stuff wins, and especially stuff in the zone. And you saw that tonight. We threw stuff, and Cooper's breaking balls are stuff, right? Not just fastball velocity, but when you have stuff in the zone, it wins. And those freshmen have a bunch of stuff, and they got to go for us. They got to be contributing members consistently. That's how the pitching staff was built, with them in mind to be able to give us a lot of innings. And any freshman's going to need some, you know, guidance, and he's going to need to get in the mud a little bit and screw it up and get back up and get pat on the butt and tell them it's going to be okay and go do it again. And so I was really proud of them. But yeah, that was the plan. And you know, and then Westberg and Nate Ball have been really good in some of those off scrimmages, and they were good tonight too.
15-0 at home now. I guess, how does that feel, and what enables you guys to be so successful at home in particular?
Yeah, it's a great feeling. I think winning begats winning, and you're more comfortable home just because of the work you're able to do, right? So guys come in early, guys stay late, they sleep on their own beds. You don't have travel, you don't have the fatigue from travel and stuff. And so that helps a ton in for us to be able to do what we've done on the homestand. I think builds a lot of confidence, and then now you're going to have to go on the road and do it, right? We got some road trips coming up, and we're going to have to take this show on the road and see if we can do it on another surface, on different wind conditions and different environments after a long travel. But the way that we built the schedule, with it's still a young team, right? Still a ton of freshmen and sophomores. The way that we built the schedule, we've done what I hoped that we would do, which is come home after an early, tough slate, and then be able to kind of get on the roll a little bit, get our confidence, make any adjustments we need to make, and improve, and then leave kind of feeling good. And then you know, what happens next, I don't know, right? But we've accomplished what we hope to accomplish and leave here with some confidence.
Braden comes in tonight, is really solid, and outing by outing, it looks like he's been handling wind up for stretch a little bit better.
Yeah.
Given how that OSU series, how that went down, are there any plans to maybe slot Braden in as one of those three starters for this upcoming weekend?
I honestly don't know, and I really would tell you I'm pretty open typically, so I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do on Friday, to be frank. You know, what he, if he is, and that's what I told him in the locker room, so I'm not saying anything. I wouldn't say to him, if he is who he was tonight, he should be a starter. But we have to be that guy, and you have to be able to manage. You have to throw an off-speed pitch for a strike. Someone's going to get on base at some point, and you're going to have to manage that. And I think the more you get in there, especially against good teams, and they're a really good team, very fundamental, very solid, great coaches. I think at one point they won 13 games in a row this year, so they're a really good team. And they've got some energy from the dugout, and this is a big deal to everybody. I think those moments are really good for their growth. And I hope that it really reinvigorates his confidence to go back out there and just compete. Because we've seen him be good from the stretch, and we've seen him not be good from the stretch. And there's no physical limitation, or there's no limiting factor to him. He could do whatever he wants to do. He could pitch for the next 15 years, right? There's nothing that will keep him from doing that outside of experience and confidence and a demeanor to attack. And so he's just got to get out there and do that. But I would imagine at some point he's back in that conversation this weekend. I don't know. But he needs to be in the conversation for us to be good.
We'll take a couple more for Coach.
Yeah, Philip Placer, we're about halfway through the season now, and his numbers are still almost video game numbers. So what have you seen from him so far?
He's Philip Glasser is the player that has done the most with his physical ability that I've ever seen in my coaching career, which isn't that long. I'm not that old. But in the 10 or 12 years that I've coached, he's done the most with his physical ability. He's the most prepared. He's the most professional. He's the most competitive. He is the best baseball player in totality that I've ever been around. And he does it in the workspace, right? The way that he takes care of his body, the way that he stretches, the way that he works in here, and he takes it directly over into the field. He makes adjustments so quickly. He'll come over and he and I have a great relationship and a great rapport, and he's able to come over and we'll have a super quick discussion, one or two sentences, and you'll watch him go on the field and apply. For example, this past weekend he came over to me and he said, I've seen 16 consecutive off-speed pitches. And I said, well, would you throw you a fastball? You're hitting 500. So he said, no. And I said, well, listen here, Chief, like, you're just going to have to take your walks. This is what it is. You're going to have to trust the guy behind you. You're going to have to trust Josh Pine. You're going to have to trust Devin Taylor. You're going to have to trust them with you on base. He went out the next game and he walked three times, right? It's like immediate. It's an immediate application to the moment. And I hope that others in the clubhouse, regardless of position, whether you're a pitcher or a position player, are able to see that level of professionalism and apply that to their game. And he has great confidence. The only thing that allows confidence to grow is the work that you put in. You can't fake it, you know. There's professional speakers talk about it, like it doesn't matter how tall your dad is, you gotta do your own growing, right? And so you watch those guys that have the work ethic, then go and have the confidence on the field to compete. And he's an incredible testament to that.
You had a opposing pitcher that really shut you down there in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
And then it was Tibbetts that had the big hit.
Yeah.
So what was it that Tibbetts was able to do that got that final spark to get you that winning run?
Well, I think a couple things. One is the guy's quick pitching, and it is what it is. The 20-second pitch clock, that you can't call timeout, so you have to get over it. Just get over it. Move on. And so if he's working quickly, stop throwing a fit, get in there. He's throwing an 89 mile an hour fastball. It's not 99. Get in the box, get on time for a fastball, and hit it. And so I think sometimes we get a little bit caught up with that pitch was an inch high or this guy's quick pitching and moving too fast. And it's like, yeah, well, we put a man on the moon in the 60s. Like, figure it out. Like, it's not that complicated. So, you know, I hit like I played the game. So he's working quickly. It's the way the game is played now. And so you're just going to have to get up and get on time for a fastball. That's what Brock did. He walks up. He gets an 86, 88 mile an hour fastball, middle of the way. It's a line drive to right field. And again, like, I'm not saying that you have to get a hit every time. Just don't end your at bat because you're upset with something that you can't control. And again, you look at Brock. I mean, Brock breaks his nose, and then all he does is go out the next week and get conference player of the week. After, we're not sure if he's, his face is swollen, he's got two black eyes, and we're not sure if he's going to play for the next month. He goes out and gets conference player of the week. And he just has a stability to him. He's emotionally stable. He's able to go out and just handle what comes. He's the best first baseman I've ever seen defensively. He's just, he's awesome. And then you see those things in the moment. That's why he hits fourth, because he's great with guys in scoring position. He's not afraid to pass the baton off to the next guy, and he kind of changed the momentum of the game there, right? Really the perception of it. And then we're able to get to the next arm, and you know, Matt Ellis has a great two strike at bat, singles into right. Again, disputable call. It doesn't matter. He called it a strike, so move on, right? And then he singles to right. Tyler Cerny has a long at bat, full count. Start the runner, we score the run, ends up being the game deciding run. So all those things, they have to work together for success to happen. And we just, yeah, we can all be emotional. It doesn't change the fact that the reality is what it is. And Brock does a great job of just being very stable.
Take one more.
As much as it is helpful to have a guy like Phillip getting on, on base as frequently as he does, what does that sort of do to the other guys in the dugout? How does that sort of, what effect does it have on them to see a guy get on base as frequently as he does?
Oh, I think it holds the standard and raises the standard for everybody else around you. And oftentimes, like I think about the East Carolina game, the East Savers kid, who I did just see the kind of like the stuff plus or whatever. He's like the fifth ranked pitcher in college baseball right now, and he deserved it. Glasher goes out and goes like, it's like four hits. And so I think what the excuses that we make, well, I can't do it because of X, Y, and Z. When you have a great player, And he's stable, he shows up every game, I think what it does is it takes away, removes excuses from everybody else. It's like, I can get on fastball timing, I can stay on fastball timing, and I can put the ball in play consistently. If you do that, you have a chance to have success. If I'm emotional, if I ride the waves, if I'm in between timing, if I'm guessing off speed pitch, like, you get your butt kicked. The game's too hard. No matter who you play, the draft shortened. And so you got COVID sixth and seventh year guys, the draft shortened. Get a bunch of guys in college baseball that typically would be in professional baseball. Everyone's good. And so if you make excuses, you always have one. When you have someone like him, he doesn't make an excuse, just go figure it out. I think it makes everyone around him try to have to compete to that level as well.
Phil, you've been hitting the cover off the ball all season long. What has your approach at the plate been like?
Just what we talk about as a group, just stay on fastball time and adjust off speed. We do a great job, you know. Our coaches do a great job preparing us for every game. You know, our drill work day to day and all our preparation, you know, prepares me a lot to go out and have the success I've been having. You know, and just hitting with a bunch of great hitters. You know, we got a lot of great hitters on our team. You know, I get a lot of feedback from other guys, kind of see what they're seeing in my swing. And, you know, we feed off of each other. And I think that's why our offense is really starting to get rolling.
Coach mentioned something about you having to take walks. There was a point in the year where you saw 16 straight breaking pitches. What does that mean for your kind of the trust you have in the rest of your lineup?
Yeah, obviously Josh Pine hits right behind me, and he's an unbelievable hitter. So it makes it super easy if, you know, I don't have to chase, do anything more than, you know, than my approach. And obviously the guys 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, they're really, really good hitters, and I know they're going to drive me in. So I have nothing to worry about, you know, trying to expand or anything. Just go up there, do my job, which is get on base as a leadoff guy. I know they're going to drive me in.
Out of the box, it seems like you always ensure that a single turns into a double. And you run really hard. Is there someone timing you in the dugout?
No one's timing me. Just how I always played, just played hard. And that's what my dad always said growing up, just, you know, get out of the box and, you know, try to put pressure on the defense. And that's all I try to do.
You were involved in one of the mound visits where it was you and Matthew. I think it was in a 2-0 count. So what is your involvement in that? What does that look like?
Yeah, obviously we have a lot of young guys that throw on midweeks, and just kind of go up there, reassure them, you know, it's all right, slow down a little bit, you know, go attack, your stuff's really, really good. You know, I faced it in the fall and, you know, before the season, and just telling them, you know, we got your back, you know, let them put it in play, and we're going to make plays for you. And obviously they're all really, really talented pitchers, and, you know, just having that confidence, a little pat on the back. And Matt's obviously does a great job behind the plate, you know, with a good frame and everything. So just assuring them that it's going to be all right, and, you know, just go attack those guys.
Coach was just talking about the kind of standard that you set for other players on the team. With how well you've been playing, what kind of standard does that set for yourself?
Just every day, just doing the same thing. Obviously, you never want to be bored with success, and what gives you success is what you stay with. So you know, you want to stay humble and just go and do the same thing day to day. And, you know, obviously we have a lot of hard workers on our team, and I'm just doing the best I can to lead by example.
Anything else for Phil?
With the move to being the everyday leadoff guy, did Coach Mercer, or from your perspective, could you sense that Coach Mercer saw in you just that, what you were saying before about putting pressure on the defense out of the box?
Yeah, I think obviously he trusted me to hit leadoff, you know, to start the season. And, you know, obviously when you hit leadoff, it's a little different. You got to, you know, work counts and put good at-bats together and, you know, get feedback to, you know, the rest of the lineup. And so that's something he trusts me with. And, you know, I'm very glad he has. And just been trying to produce and just doing my job up there.
So can you just kind of walk us through, you had, you know, two very solid innings. What was kind of going through your mind, and allowed you to work as well as you did in this particular outing?
I mean, you know, getting an opportunity to go out there, you just trying to compete, trying to attack, you know, Ellis back there doing an awesome job, setting up a lot of good pitches for me, you know, really trying to chase that slider and that curveball was a big piece for me. But yeah, just trying to go out there and compete to the best of my ability.
And how important is it having a veteran catcher like Matthew Ellis when you're going out there and trying to get outs?
Oh, absolutely huge. I mean, every time I'm out there, if I'm ever, you know, mentally in the wrong, like, headspace or something's going wrong for me, he's always out there calming me down, looking me in the eyes. He's like, hey, man, you got this. So it's absolutely huge. He's done an amazing job.
Like Coach mentioned, the landscape of college baseball has changed with shorter draft, fifth and sixth year seniors. It's kind of harder to be a freshman. So what's it been like so far this year with all that?
I mean, despite the contrary, having a lot of older guys on the team, I think, has been great. Guys like Craig Yoho, like some real senior leadership who, you know, he's been through a lot. So having a guy like that to, you know, ask him questions, lean on him and see what his perspective is on some of this stuff I think it's really, really helped me through my freshman year so far. So
there's been a lot of freshman pitchers utilized. What's that atmosphere like, and what's been your favorite part so far?
Just, you know, I mean, we all live on the same floor, so it's just getting to have the idea of like, hey, these are my guys. Like, I got three more years with these guys. So just getting to go out and compete, and I mean, surrounding yourself with guys who are just as good, if not better than me, just like elevating each other to the next level has been really, really, really great.
Who's the troublemaker on the floor?
I'm not sure if I can say that.
Lots of young guys going out there to pitch early in the season, especially today. You guys were shoving. How's this going to help later down the season? You know, bigger games, bigger environment.
I mean, you know, getting some freshmen, like you said, freshman pitchers out there, getting them more innings now, just so when the season, like the end of the season comes around, we all got a little bit more experience and we're ready and we're a little, like, we're still, you know, putting our feet in the water. So getting this now towards the end of the season, it's going to help a lot. And I feel like we can make a big impact on this team.
What has surprised you from facing this kind of competition compared to before you were pitching in college?
I mean, you know, the hitters are a lot better for starters, but I mean, there's way more discipline, you know, trying to land curveballs like every single time without them absolutely piecing it, you know, and just really trying to work around the zone, because you were able to sneak a lot of middle fastballs by high school and in summer ball, but now, you know, you got to be a little bit more, you know, poised, be a little bit more, you know, ready to go.
Thank you for listening to this post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. See you at the bar.